The Jews and the Christians and the Unitarians all share similar foundational documents and a love of congregations and congregational life and a hatred of congregations and congregational life. It is hard to create institutions. Institutions are limiting, as the rabbi said, and yet over and over we must create them. We must find ways in which our gathering together can embody that spirit which can never be contained by any institution. There's an illusion that's often created, especially within Christianity, that the institution is one and the same as the Spirit of God. And the whole point of the stories that we said today and many of the readings is that God cannot be contained by any building, by any institution, by anything created by human beings, that the truth, that the power that we need is always able to move. And we have these struggles. We want to ground that community, focus the work of the community, clarify what it is doing. We need to create institutions, and those institutions need to have guiding principles. And so one of the ones that we have is the Christian Bible. It is a foundational document for Unitarians and Universalists. Our entire tradition was born out of an argument and a struggle about how to deal with that, with those words. As the Christian Bible was being formed, the canon was not completely set, but it was being set. That is when we began to find that people were choosing ways of being Christian that were that was alienating to Jews. It was almost an intentional, sometimes a very intentional act in which people who called themselves Christians needed to divorce themselves from the very religious tradition that had given them birth, the inspirations, the scriptures, the words, the prophecies that had shaped Christianity were now being reframed, rejected, and pulled away from their source. And this was part of the formation of the Christian Bible, and Unitarians and Universalists were often those who were very engaged directly in arguments about what the Bible should be and how one should understand it. It is a foundational document for who we are. It is ours. To be clear, it is not something that we hold as the one and only obvious and unchangeable Word of God. We understand that it was created by human beings in a struggle to understand a particular metaphor about God or a particular set of ideas about God. We understand that it comes out of human tradition in a struggle to match and pull down human tradition into words and images. But it is one of the root documents of this tradition. We use midrash and scholarship, reason, informed questioning, discipline, interpretation. We treat the Bible in a way as an inspired document, but we also treat the Quran and the Bhagavad Gita and the poems of Mary Oliver as inspired documents. Because they inspire us, they have the power to inspire us, but also because they have shaped those who have come before us. They have shaped who we are. They shape what we are. The Bible lives in all sorts of ways in this culture. Most of us do not read the Bible. I think most Unitarian Universalists do not read the Bible, and because we are like most Americans who do not read the Bible. According to 2013 Barna Group survey of people in this country, 77% see the nation's moral standards as declining. More than half of Americans thought the Bible had too little influence on our culture and its lack was causing the moral decline. A third of respondents said certainly the moral decline was a result of people not reading the Bible. And yet, 88% said they own one, they own a Bible. 61% said they wished they read the Bible more. However, only 1 in 5 said that they read the Bible on a regular basis. That is, 4 or more times a week. So only 1 in 5, 26%. Of all the people who said they ever read the Bible, more than half of them read the Bible only 4 times a year or less, leaving 17% of the people who own Bibles to never even read them at all. And part of this is because the Bible is a difficult document to work with. It is a difficult document because it was created over many centuries by many different ideas, by many different people in different conditions. It says things that are contradictory within itself. It is often saying polar opposites. And so we struggle with the Bible and how to use it. I heard a story about a pastor, United Church of Christ minister in a small town. And she decided on a beautiful day, it was a beautiful sunny day, Sunday afternoon, that she was going to go visit people in her congregation. She was walking along and people were out playing in their yards or gardening or just basking in the sun. It was one of those early warm days. I need to imagine those early warm days in the midst of the cold, right? And she came to houses and would talk to people and see how things were going and just check in. And she came to one house. There's obvious that people were there. Someone was there. A car was there. And there were some objects out on the porch. And so she knocked on the door and waited. And then she knocked a little bit louder and eventually called out, said, "Is anyone here?" Or, you know, and called out her name, and there was nothing. So then she took out her little business card. No one answered the door still. So she took it out and she wrote Revelation 3:20, which says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me." And then that Sunday, she was the next following Sunday, she was looking at things in the collection plate and someone found her business card, that same business card with the Revelation passage written on it. But underneath that was written Genesis 3:10. She had to think, and then she went and looked it up, and it said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself." If you know the Bible and use it well, it can be very useful. There's a crisis in religion because the Bible has been used poorly. Most recently, there's been a rise of the use of understandings of the Bible to fuel political divisions and political movements that have made people very anxious. Sometimes I see the very same attitude within Unitarian Universalist congregations, where there's a desire to pick a particular political position and use that as the center and core of a Unitarian Universalist church. Because we have no obvious doctrine, sometimes we'll use political positions as our doctrines and hold to those and give us power and vitality. The same thing was happening within Christian, very conservative Christian churches, where they were using political positions to drive a sense of unity and power in the world. And this, of course, eventually comes to a point where people begin to see that the word and the idea and the vision and the truth have all become corrupted and tied in with just simple human power, human manipulations, limited human manipulations, and people begin to lose faith in how the Bible is being used. And of course, we have seen, as the rabbi said, that institutions can protect and hide evil doing, bad actions. Recently saw the movie Spotlight. It was a powerful movie. And I thought one of the things I loved about the movie Spotlight was that it dealt with religion well. It showed religion as many different things. It didn't say religion is an institution that protects people who would sexually abuse children. It said religion was many things. Religion is something that empowers people to help those who are poor and needy and vulnerable. It has, it can be a source of comfort. It can be a source of inspiration. It can be a source of strength. It can be a source of identity. Many, many different things. It allowed religion to be all of its many different facets. But it also pointed out that sometimes religion can be a blanket for illness and evil. But always, religion has not been bound and tied down by the ways in which people practice it. Religion has always been something that is moving through our lives and through our cultures. And the Bible is a testament to this. The Bible over and over shows religion changing. The religion that Cain and Abel practice just spontaneously in the very beginning of the Bible is not the religion that Moses practices. Moses has the codes. Moses has Aaron and the priesthood. The whole religion has been changed. And then when the temple is formed and David is there, the religion changes again. The priests and the temple become the center and the locus of God's power in the world, not the ark that they're carrying around with them and that can be stolen and lost or damaged or dropped on the ground or touched. Instead, it becomes put into the temple, and the religion changes again. There changes because they have now formed a kingdom, because their lives are stable, their political and social situation changed, and so religion changes. And the Bible testifies to this over and over. And then when the Jewish people are overwhelmed, the Babylonian armies come in and destroy their kingdom and exile many of the Jewish people, Ezekiel has this vision. One of my friends said, essentially, the message of Ezekiel in those first 10 chapters is that God has a really cool car. He can move around. He's not caught, because everyone up to that point had been living with the sense of God was in the temple. And the way to get close to God, the way to touch God, God's healing power, God's forgiving power, God's saving power, was to go to the temple and to do a sacrifice there. And this was a reminder that God had always been able to move. This great carriage with these churning wheels and these spirit beings, these many spirits that are moving around, able to move like lightning. And over the next several chapters, from that beginning image of the things coming out of the thundercloud, God moves to the threshold of the temple, and then God moves out of the temple and up onto a mountaintop, and then God moves out. And again, there are messages of Israel being punished and then Israel being healed again, that I will gather the people back to the temple. There's a call back to the temple. And these sorts of visions are very useful again later, about 600 years later, when they've restored the temple and then they've lost it again. The temple gets razed to the ground, destroyed and broken and destroyed. The religion changes yet again into synagogue-based religion. It's transformed again. In the context of Christianity's rise, Judaism changes again, always showing these transformations. And so one of the key messages of the Bible is not that religion is stayed and stuck and you should hold to the exact way. Many Christians will often focus on, we're trying to practice exactly as they did back in the days, the apostolic churches, or we're practicing religion just like the apostle. To do that, to say that, is to go against the very message of the Bible, which is that religion is always changing. And then the key metaphor within the Bible is the metaphor, and of course, Unitarian Universalists love change. We have always been about change. We have understood the fact that God can move, that the Spirit is never contained or bound by any one tradition, by any one doctrine, by any one creed, even by any person. Always we have to seek and follow that the movement of the Spirit wherever justice is rising up, wherever evil is being confronted, wherever hope appears in hopeless situations, there we see that the Spirit has moved again. Always we have been those people who fought against doctrinal religion, which was trying to trap an understanding down into a narrow set of creeds. We've always been about freedom. And it's the same thing about God. Oftentimes people say, do you believe in God, or focus on God as though does God exist? And they assume that you've already defined the word. And what you find throughout the Bible is that word is never defined really clearly. Often it's a person. Often it's a male person, but not always. And the God of love is very different than the God of judgment and vengeance. And yet they're still both present. And the God that is the God of creation is also the God of destruction. The God that Jesus prays to as Papa is also the God that leads the Israeli armies to victory against political opponents. And these are all contradictory images, different images of the divine, of the holy, of what is God, of what is true, of what is powerful in the world. And Unitarian Universalists have said, even those who deny the usefulness of the idea altogether are still moving towards truth. The truth that can never be captured. And this is part of the biblical tradition, is to say that truth is not only able to move in a great carriage and a throne full of lightning and fire and spirit beings beyond comprehension, but in human actions, in human poetry, in our daily lives, that always it is moving. Always it is not confined. Always it is beyond our understanding. It challenges us and makes us uncomfortable. Sometimes we have gotten our lives into places that are much too comfortable. We're set in ruts, and then something wakes up. Something moves in the world. So part of what all this whole Black Lives Matter movement has been about is that we had started to become too complacent about racism in this country, and suddenly something says, pay attention, wake up, we still need to work on this issue. Religion, the Spirit of God, always changing, always moving, coming in many different forms. And even in this congregation, we say sometimes we get rid of the whole idea of God and religion. We stop using those words. Those people who are spiritual but not religious are always looking. Some of them, of course, as the rabbi points out, are looking just to be comfortable. But most are looking for what is really true and good and powerful in life. And that is the way of this religious congregation, this community, to come together, to listen to one another, sometimes to become uncomfortable in that process, but then to hear and to see wonders being done in the world, amazing things and moments, good people, clear insights. They appear in this gathering together of people. There's a power in the free religious community, one that serves not a tradition alone, but is always serving that free spirit. I hope that we find that here. I hope that we live by that here, that openness, that creativity, that spirit of change that is present in the Bible, that has been present in this congregation, that has been present in all free religious communities wherever they appear.